Let me start off by telling you, obviously introducing the new series. So we're starting a series called Chaos. And I don't know about you, but I can relate to that. Some of you are like, hey, I'm an only child. It's pretty laid back at my house. I don't have a lot of chaos in my life. And I would challenge you to think about what kind of chaos you may have in your life and what that really looks like. Because I don't know about you, but I grew up as an only child, and I had chaos in my life. You know, there was lots of stuff going on. And so I don't think necessarily because a house is busy like my house. For y'all that don't know me, I have four kids, right? If you don't know that and you haven't met my kids, they're pretty wild. You know, they're wild. That probably sums it up, right? Leaders, volunteers, would you agree? Okay. So at times, my kids can bounce off the walls. And it can seem pretty chaotic in my house. And this last week has been pretty chaotic. I should say this last month has been pretty chaotic. And the reason why it's been chaotic is a couple weeks ago, about a month ago, my car broke down. So I'm driving down the 303, and I'm taking Eden to school. And all of a sudden, I hear this, dunk, 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 dunk. And I'm thinking, well, that sounds like a tire. But as I'm, you know, pulling it out of gear and still listening, it's the motor. And I'm like, oh, that's not good. So I, like, turn off the key, and I pull over to the side. And for y'all that don't know Eden, my oldest, she is, like, she's, like, stress level here, right? She's, like, something happens. She's, like, what's going on, Dad? Like, has to know. She's, like, the oldest. She's the one that has to know what's going on, and she's, like, the little parent. So for y'all don't know, she's been helping lead over there for the last couple weeks, like taking the reins because Miss Mary Lou's been on vacation. And so the parents that are helping and volunteering in there go to her and be like, so Eden, what are we doing today? So she's like this little parent that knows what's going on and how to do things. And she'd be really embarrassed if she was hearing me talk about this. And so she's like this little person. So this little person, of course she is. And so she's like this, we pull over and she's like freaking out. And I'm like, oh, please, Lord, like, what's going on? I really don't have the money to fix this. And, you know, and so I'm like, she's sensing my stress. And I get over the side of the road, and we're like, I'm like a half mile from her school. And so I'm like, it's okay, Eden, you know, like, and I'm trying to, like, not show her that I'm like, something really bad's happening with the motor. And I'm like, hey, your school's right there. Just walk there. And she's like, by myself? And I'm like, yes, I can watch you the whole time. And I was like, I'll stand right here and watch you get all the way to school. I want you to get to school. And she was like, okay, but what about the car? Are you going to pick me up this afternoon, Dad? How are you going to get me? You know, she's worrying. And so that was a month ago. So I pull over. I get it towed, okay? And so it gets towed over to our mechanic. His son's in our youth group. He's just not here today. And so gets towed over there, and I'm like, you know, you got that gut feeling. You ever had that? Like when things are crazy in your life or you're stressed or things are just going on, you have that gut feeling. I'm like, he's calling me really quickly. This is not good. This is not good. And so he says, was your engine running when you stopped? I said, yeah, just making a real bad thumping noise. He's like, your motor seized. And I'm just like, what? Like, it was running. And so I was really stressed out because that was like our second car that was the reason why my daughter was going to that school was because of the gas mileage on that car. And it was really like one of those things where I was like, what am I going to do? And on top of that, it was a car that my wife's dad owned and was letting us use. Now, he didn't need it. It was like the second car or third car he owned or whatever. And he was letting me borrow it. So have you guys ever borrowed something and then broke it and you're like, you know, like you're playing with your friend's phone and drop it and it's like, oh no, I hope it's not cracked, right? So that was what I was feeling, but I was like, oh no, this is like a $2,000 car. Crap, I just broke it, you know? And so that was how I was feeling. And I was stressed, you know? And there was like other things going on that week with the kids and the school calling and, you know, and then I was like, man, my life is so chaotic right now. Why is this? Why am I so chaotic? Why is life so chaotic that I have to feel like my stress level is up here? So this is the time of year where I think it's kind of set in that, oh crap, I have a midterm coming up in a couple weeks. Grades are coming home in a couple weeks, right? And you're like stressing out because you're like, oh yeah, it was cool being back at school and seeing my friends. And now you're like, oh dear. Mom and dad are going to see my grades. And I haven't done all my homework assignments, or I haven't done well on my tests, or I haven't been studying. And so as we talk about that, I want you guys to think about the chaos in your life and how we handle it, right? How we handle that. So as we jump into this series, we're going to be talking about chaos. And today, we're going to talk about stress. So how many of you guys feel busy? Okay. Hands down. How many of you guys feel with that busyness, sometimes life becomes unstable, right? Okay. How many with the busyness and the instability becomes unpredictability, right? Right? So we all feel that from time to time. Busyness, the instability, and then the unpredictableness of being stressed out and being busy, right? Because I don't see all of you every Wednesday, and that's okay. I know you guys go to school. I know you guys are playing sports. I know you're active. But when I find myself stressed out because I have a relationship with Jesus Christ, because I have committed my life to Christ, I notice that my stress level goes from here to here. As I begin to go, okay, wait a second. Why is my life so crazy right now? And I take an inventory. Everybody know what inventory means? Like you look at what's going on in your life, you look at what you have in your life. I take an inventory and I go, okay, so I'm doing this. And very little of it has to do with my relationship with God, right? It has to do with my friends, my family, my work, for you guys, your school, right? So we have all these other things that are going on in life that are taking our time. And we don't go and look at it and go, well, what do I need to change, right? And when we do go look at what we need to change, what is the first thing that comes off the list? Church, youth group, Christian friends, right? Because that's the easiest to disconnect from, right? Because we can go, yeah, Ryan challenges me every week, or Ricky challenges me every week. That's easy. Take that one off the list. I'm not going today. Too busy for that. Too crazy for that. Life's too stressed for that, right? That's what happens if you're honest with yourself. Because I know before this was my job, that when my stress level got to here, church and church activities and my friends from church was like the first thing I was like, we'll move that down here. Priority level down here. And as I've connected with God and as I've dug into what Scripture says and as I've learned to follow Christ, I've realized that's the last thing that should be coming off my list. That's the last thing that I should be taking and going, wait a second. That's actually probably what I need the most, is to hear from God, is to study his word, right? And for some of you, you're like, well, I still come to church, but I study the Bible less. My devotional time gets shorter, right? About time management. It's about what we choose, right? Because nobody's forcing you to read your Bible. I mean, maybe your parents are like, hey, no, you're going to sit down and read your Bible, and you're doing it begrudgingly. You're not like, ah, fine. Right? You're not really going, okay, God, what do you want to say to me? What's going on that I need to hear? What do I need to hear from you, Lord? Because the cool thing about our Bible is even 2,000 years ago, when this was put together, and when it was written, it was God's word breathed into man, and man wrote this so that we could still learn from it today. And every time I open my Bible, I hear from the Lord. Every time. It could be as little as one verse or just a few words I needed to hear. So I want you to turn to the person next to you and say, what does your inventory look like? What are the priorities in your life? So what comes first? What comes second? What comes third? Take about a minute each and share that. All right, turn to the next person. Or share with vice versa. Can you take that bottom line off? Thanks. At the end. All right. So what are some of your stresses? Raise your hand. School. Okay, so school. All right. What else? Trying to get through your senior year. What else? Family struggles. What else? Grades. What else? Friends. What else? Karate. What else? Sports. What else? Responsibility. Does your life start to get like that? Right? What happens when our life gets under a lot of pressure? What happens? It pops, right? Why does it pop? Because of so much pressure? I just don't think I'm strong enough to make this thing pop. But okay, I'm not going to do it. All right, I'm scared it's going to blow and hit me in the face. So, ow. So, we have all these things that becomes so pressurized in our life that at some point we explode, right? This top comes off and everything how you're feeling, it goes everywhere, right? She's scared. So our life begins to explode, and then what's left? A shell of who we are, right? We allow stress into our lives, right? This isn't like, stress isn't something that we have no control over, is it? Or is it? Do you guys think you have control over stress? I think you do. Trick question. I think you do have control over stress. Do you know that you have to study? Okay. Do you know that you have to practice for a sport? Yes. Do you know you can't take this Bible and go like this and then be able to know all of it? Yes. Right? Okay. So you know you have to do things, right? But what happens is this. Let me push that aside. Funny. That video, that cat. I mean, so funny. Right? And the clock begins to do this. So we choose to do the things that we want to do instead of doing the things that we know we should do. So when you get stressed out, what do you do? And how do you know that you're stressed out?
Usually if I'm stressed, I go for a nice bike ride.
Okay, but how do you know you're stressed?
Getting irritated, everybody kind of getting snappy.
Okay. 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 What else? Yes, ma'am. You sleep. Oh, man, I wish I could sleep when I was stressed. Everything would go away if I could sleep when I was stressed. What else? You get worried, right? What's Scripture say about being worried? Do not be anxious. Okay? So you guys are like, yeah, that's cool, Ryan. Don't be anxious. The Bible says that. But we choose to allow these stresses in our life, right? Because we don't manage our time well. And I think society has done you an injustice as teenagers. Because they've said, oh, you don't know how to handle stress. You don't know how to budget your time. And I'm going to call that out onto the rug. And what that means is I'm going to say, no, I think you do. But I think we make a conscious decision to do other things because we want to please ourselves and we want to do what feels good. When are we going to stop doing what feels good and start doing what we know we should do? Guys, I've worked with teenagers for the last 10 years. I've talked to thousands of teenagers, and I know you have it in you to choose to not be stressed out, to choose to not let life be chaotic or have chaos in your life. What's it going to take for you to choose the things that don't make your life be stressed? Right? Because when you sneak out at night and you're like, I'm just so stressed, I want to go hang with my friends. But then you're sitting there with your friends going, I hope I don't get caught. I hope I don't get caught. Please don't get caught. Right? So you're stressing out. You chose to sneak out. You chose to go outside. You chose to do something you knew you weren't supposed to do. How about when we tell a lie to our parents? We choose that lie because we're worried about paying the consequences of our choice, of something we chose to do that wasn't what we were supposed to do. I want you to turn to the person next to you and ask them this last month how many times they can remember that they chose to do something that they knew they weren't supposed to do. You don't tell them what, I just want to know. How many times? Don't you think about it? How many times? Don't tell them what. This is not a confessional time. All right, 30 seconds. Hopefully it didn't take you that long to think about the last month. Yeah, it's been since the beginning of the month, and we're talking about September. All right, let's bring it back in. So I want you to turn to Proverbs. 21:31. All right. So Proverbs 21:31 says, the horse is made ready for the day of battle, but the victory belongs to the Lord. It's pretty interesting, right? The horse is made ready for the day of battle, but the victory belongs to the Lord. So as I was studying this, and as I was thinking about this and praying about this, this is Solomon, King Solomon talking. Dude had a lot of stress, right? Did a lot of things that I hope none of us do. So, but what this verse is saying, what his wisdom, what he's saying here is the horse is made ready for the battle, right? So for the day of battle, meaning you guys are constantly doing things, right? You are constantly preparing for tests. You're doing all these things. But so many times, we don't do those things, and so when it becomes the time for test day, we're stressing out because we weren't preparing the horse for battle, right? We weren't doing what we were supposed to, so then it comes down to it, and we have to stress out. But it says when the horse is made ready, when you are made ready for the day of battle, we don't have to worry about the outcome, because that's the Lord's. But when you do everything you can to be prepared and be ready, the Lord handles the rest, right? Because you know You know this. Your parents aren't in this room. None of your parents are in this room. You know when you don't study enough for a test. You know it. And when you get a grade that is not desirable, and you go to your parents, you're like, it was just a really hard test. I know most teachers go, hey, here's the outline, here's what's going to be on this, here's what you need to know for the test. Granted, there are some of those teachers that aren't as good, but that's like a half a percentile compared to the teachers that want to see you succeed. That's a half a percent. So you know when you don't make the horse ready, right? You know when you don't prepare. You know it. So to handle your stress, when are you going to start owning it? When are you going to start owning that, hey, I need to just focus? Guys, I have to go put my phone in another room when I study. I'm going through the same things you guys are at 30 years old. I'm twice the age of some of you, right? I'm going through the same things, but I've made a choice to put this away. I made a choice to take my watch off, right? I've made choices so that I don't have to come here on Sunday and go, I got to teach, right? Now, there's some weeks that are chaotic, like this one, that I study a little bit and study a little bit and I study a little bit, and Sunday morning comes around and I'm like, okay, Lord, help me out here. Right? But that's not my standard of practice. I want you to think about, what's your standard of practice? What do you do to get ready, and what aren't you doing to get ready? For whatever it may be. A game, a test, church. What aren't you doing? And what's your standard practice? By yourself, close your eyes, think about that. Picture it in your head. Close your eyes. It helps. With your eyes closed, what are you doing to make the horse ready for battle? Now that you know what you are doing, what aren't you doing? And where is God challenging you to be ready? All right, open your eyes. As we read in 1 Peter 5:7, New Testament, towards the back of the book, the Bible, 1 Peter 5, verse 7. Chapter 5, verse 7. It's the back of 1 Peter. So as we read this, I want you to think about this verse. It says, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all of your anxieties on him because he cares for you." So that second part of that verse is what stands out to me. Cast. What's it mean to cast? Throw. Who's fished ever? Right? You cast the line out, right? So the definition for cast is in the Webster Dictionary is throw upon, put upon. So Christ is saying, cast. Cast your stresses. Cast your worries. Cast your anxiety on me. Cast all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. Guys, you have a loving Father in heaven who wants to bear your burdens. But you have to be prepared. Right? Because I know that when we talk about doing outreach, talking about like, hey, go spread the gospel, you guys are like, I don't want to. I don't want to share my faith. I'm scared. Right? And Christ is saying, cast that on him. Because he cares for you. When Christ calls us to something, he provides, guys. When he calls you to do something, he's going to provide. And if he's calling you to invite somebody to church or to talk to them about Jesus, he's going to give you the words. And some of you have a faith that is like this, and you don't believe and trust that. So start off by casting your burdens on Christ. Cast it to him. Give it up. Put upon. Put it on Christ. Last night, Ananias went into the hospital. He's my youngest. He's 2 years old. And actually, yesterday afternoon at like noon, he went into the hospital. And Rachel was at this event, and I had him. And my morning consisted of riding 40 miles on my bike. And then the night before, he was up coughing all night long. So I didn't sleep very much. I go riding in the morning because I'm leading the ride. So these guys don't know where they're going because I'm the one leading the ride. And then I get home and I go to buy a car. And so I'm stressed, right? I'm just like, I got to get all these things done. And then my mother-in-law, who's watching Ananias, calls me. And he's like, he's coughing really bad. And he's wheezing. He's struggling to breathe. And if any of you have ever seen a child struggle to breathe, it's scary. If any of you've ever struggled to breathe yourself, it's even scarier. And so as I hear this and I can hear him in the background, I'm like, take him to the ER. And they take him to the ER and they admit him right away and they give him breathing treatment and they give him a steroid. And so I'm in there with him. I just had bought this car and that was stressful and I'm holding him and he doesn't like the breathing treatment. He's two. He's like, I don't want to be held down. I don't want to be held back. And so he's breathing and I'm sitting there going, God, I'm stressed out, and I know I'm not supposed to be, and I need to cast this on you. And it's crazy how this week I'm teaching this, and I'm studying this week, and I have to practice it, right? I have to put it into practice. I have to go, wait, it says I'm supposed to cast that on you. And as I began to cast that on him, he started breathing easier, and I was like, thank you, Lord. And I'm sitting in this little room, and I just begin to go, God, this is yours. This isn't mine. I've done everything I'm supposed to. I've done everything I can. And now I need to give it over to you. Now I need to give it over to you. What do you need to give over to God? God holds your future so you can focus on the present. What do you need to give to him so you can focus on right now? What do you need to give to him so you can focus on right now? Think about that. You guys know I like to make you think. I don't like to make you sit there quietly. When we break up into small groups, I want you to talk about what you need to give over to God and what you need to own up to. What do you need to own up into your life that's stressing you out? And what do you need to go, wait, I'm doing what I'm supposed to do here, but I got to give that to God because stressing about it ain't going to make it any better, is it? Right? We can worry about that all day, but if it's not ours, it's the Lord's, right? Because our outcome is his. But our current is what we need to focus on. Let's pray. God, thank you so much just for working with the doctors and Ananias doing better, Lord. I'm so grateful that he's home and that he can be resting at home and be able to move around and not be stuck in a room, God. Thanks for giving me an example of how I need to give it over to you, God. And God, as these students sit down and talk with each other and be real, Lord, I pray that you bring to light, you bring to the forefront what is theirs and what they need to own up to and what is yours. What are we stressing out about that we have no control over? Because, God, I know there's things in our lives that we need to deal with, that we need to choose to do better. We need to choose to be responsible for. But there's also things that are yours and are fully yours, God. So God, I pray that these students will work hard on the stressful parts of their life and that they'll trust you with the rest. We love you, God. In your name we pray. Amen.